one of the fun questions to ask around Christmas time is how people open their presents. You have a couple different groups. You have the strict Christmas morning people. Then you have the Christmas Eve group. Then you have the one present on Christmas Eve and the rest on Christmas morning. Then there are the lesser well-known groups of present openers. There are the 12 days of Christmas group, who either take the entire Christmas season more or less seriously, or who have complicated travel or work plans. It varies. And then there's a very little known last group. They're the group of people who haven't necessarily purchased their presents yet and might get around to sending them sometime in early January or maybe February. When I meet these people, they look at me at this point in time in the conversation and say, the presents are either late or very early, and we both sort of laugh and smile. In my house, well, my parents' house, because this is still where we go for Christmas, presents are opened tomorrow morning. And there are rules that go with this. They are strictly adhered to, or it will be remembered next year, we assume. One person opens a present at a time, and after you have opened your present, you select the present for the next person. There's an addendum to this one. If I am the person who opened the present, it was a book, I have to pick the next present before I look inside the book. Something about getting easily distracted, it was probably a good rule. Presents are important. And how and why we give them matters. One of the best present giving rants I think I've seen is on The Big Bang Theory. Any other fans? A few? The Sheldon character, who may be one of society's favorite socially maladapted nerds, has this lovely, you know, little soliloquy in the first season when he's informed he has to buy his best friend, not just any friend, his best friend a birthday present, where he explains that presents, nobody wins. It's a social contract wherein you and another person buy each other presents, and there's this complicated evaluation of your relationship that enters into it until one of you dies, leaving the other person slightly ahead. Then one of his other friends explains that it's a socially accepted form and obligation, and he goes out to purchase a present anyways. The store security gets called later on. If you don't watch this show, you really should start. Fabulous. My parents are fans of the wish list, to the point that we have been informed for several years now that you don't get Thanksgiving dinner unless your Christmas wish list has been handed in on time. I've never tested how serious they are about that. They like, they enjoy making sure they purchase the right presents that they know we want, and we're all still somewhere in that mid-20s range. Occasionally, and sometimes more than occasionally, need, but can't quite afford yet. For them, that's very important. My brothers are somewhere on the other end of gift giving. Both of them independently informed me that they'd rather not buy me a book because that's what everyone else does. I'm not really sure why this was a problem, but I've provided a few hints of things that were not books that I might also enjoy. Really, I like books. Gift giving can fall into all of these categories, up to and including Sheldon's sort of capitalistic analysis of how this works, an exchange that obligates you. But as Christians, especially as Christians who have given up some of your family time to be here and remember Christ in the middle of a busy weekend. It's something beyond all of that. It's not Sheldon's capitalistic economy where someone eventually winds up ahead of someone else. It's not, and even my family gets it wrong here, about what we want or need. It's not about, as much as I love my brothers, and as much as I will admit that I look to find that same sort of unknown but desired gift for them, it's not about that. If it was about capitalism and winding up ahead, I'm fairly sure none of us would be here. The truth is, God doesn't need us in that way. If it was about what we want and need, the story could have ended at creation. Even if it was about finding what we secretly desire but don't know yet, the story could have ended at creation. There is more than enough in this world to provide what we want and need, and to continually surprise us with unknown desires and delights for several lifetimes. But the story didn't end there. If presents are, in that Hallmark theology, which I actually don't abhor for a change, a pale imitation and reflection of God giving us Jesus, there's something else in all of this. Jesus is about something beyond what we need, beyond what we want, and beyond what we desire. I say beyond because we certainly need Jesus. I would hope we get to a point where we want and desire Jesus. But it's also about something else. If it's just about the first three, God has been re-gifting Jesus for 2,000 years. And I don't care where you stand on the practice of re-gifting. After 2,000 years, it gets a little tacky, and I don't think God does tacky. Jesus works a little bit differently than that, thankfully. Otherwise, my job gets a lot harder. And that's part of why Jesus works a little bit differently. For 2,000 years, the church has stood and proclaimed that Jesus came among us, that Christmas is about this baby born in a manger, and we've, for probably far too long, done the pageants with the little kids and the angels and the shepherds, and we know this story. It's beautiful and it's wonderful, and it should be. That is, at some point in time, the point of Christmas. But Christmas is more than tonight and tomorrow. And it is more than the 12 days of Christmas. Although for the people who do the 12 days of Christmas presents, they are onto something. Christmas is about remembering that as Christians, that as people who have promised and covenanted with God that we will keep coming back together, that we will keep remembering this wonderful story, that we will keep remembering that God has given us an impossible to understand gift in Jesus, in the baby we begin to remember tonight, and in all of the stories we keep telling, that the gift hasn't ended yet, that we get to keep remembering and keep retelling these stories. Because every time we come back, there's something new in them. There's a new way to look at ourselves at our world, and at our God. For tonight and tomorrow, and depending on how much you like your family, a few days after that, we have family, we have friends, we have beautifully wrapped presents. Well, I suppose depending on who wrapped them. I think one of my brothers went with black wrapping paper this year to help us remember that this is about an impossible gift. It's not something you can put under a tree or recreate in a manger scene. But who we are, what this is about continually coming back to God and to Jesus to reopen the present, to rediscover what God has given us. Amen.